Hello, hello. Welcome to, I'm going to call it, like, the post-allergies and post-just-life crap show. No, it's not really going to be called that. But, anyway, welcome to episode 4 of the RandoCast, featuring your girl, Starbuck, Amanda, call me whatever. Well, don't call me that. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about life for a little bit. We're going to talk about some news stories, and then we're going to talk about some October games. So yeah, stay tuned. And as always, show notes will be included on the website. And yeah, enjoy the music. Alright guys, so we're going to talk about life here for a couple minutes. I know in the last podcast I was all like, yeah, I'm going to get to recording these with more of a rhythm. And then yeah, life happened. Anyway, we all got sick in my house. My poor 9-month-old got an ear infection. And then he got a bit stronger of an ear infection. And then we went out of town for a little bit on a family trip to go see an old friend. So, yeah, here I am back again, just on that perpetual quest to try to figure out hobbies, work, and parenting all at the same time. Yeah, sorry about that. I say yeah too much. But anyway, I'm hoping that I can get back on some sort of schedule. I know I keep saying that, and I just have to put up and do it one of these days. But life's not getting any slower with work, and Will getting older, and I keep mulling about going back to school. Next year, it would be to major in, like, marketing or communications. Something I found out that, hey, I was actually kind of interested in when I started working in retail. And I mean, 10 years ago, I would have never thought of wanting to produce a podcast. But, you know, I started watching podcasts and I started listening to more podcasts. And I'm like, you know, this is cool. New media production? Pretty dang sweet. So yeah, I don't know where I'm going with that. I guess I just needed to get it off my chest for, you know, the 6 of you that listen. Thank you very much, by the way, for listening. You appreciate it. You appreciate it. Wow, God, I'm dumb. I appreciate it more than you know, to the people that listen. And thank you for kind of coming on this growing with me journey. I've been knocking around starting a Patreon just to, you know, have like a $5 reward tier and call it Buy Me a Coffee. I'm working on getting a new microphone. I really want a condenser microphone. I love this siren, but at the moment I'm sitting like 3 feet away from my microphone and I'm pretty sure it's still picking up my allergy-addled self every time I breathe in. And if that's the case, I am so sorry. I will try to edit it as much as I possibly can. But, so I guess to wrap up this life segment, sorry it's so rambly. And thanks for listening. Even if you don't leave a, you know, comment, message, anything. The analytics on Anchor tell me you're there, so I appreciate it more than you know. And yeah, like I said, thanks in advance if I just sound effing weird through the next 2 segments. Allergies suck. So with that, we're gonna move on into the news after this next segment. Alright, so we've got 4 stories this week that kind of have caught my attention over the past little bit. We're going to start off with E3. So, when you hear the phrase fan, media, and influencer festival, does your mind not immediately go to, like, everything you ever heard about the Fyre Festival, or is that just me? Anyway, this has a point. So, GameDaily.biz got a hold of a pitch deck meant for ESA members, the Electronic Software Association. They run E3, talking about and advocating the need for E3 to evolve. Just a reminder, this year was pretty much one of the most lackluster E3s, at least that I can remember. Sony didn't even show up, and Activision wasn't even on the floor. EA wasn't either, but that's been their way for the past few years. One of the first things that the pitch deck went into were something called celebrity activations, air quotes, using an example of the LA Lakers playing something like the next 2K basketball game in front of fans, or actors taking part in a video game related tournament. You can be sure that Mr. Keanu Reeves' appearance at Microsoft's E3 event is certainly the inspiration for that. The link in the show notes will have the full article from GameDaily.biz, which includes pictures. So I encourage you to look at those. The deck is also advocating for a complete change to the floor plan of E3 as well, housing what they're calling 8 experience hubs that come across on paper something vaguely reminiscent of a theme park. Also in the deck was that members of the ESA approved allotting an extra 10,000 gamer badges to the event next year, bringing the total number of people on the floor to 25,000. Now, if you need a bit of a refresher, gamer badges were the tickets that were actually open to the public starting a couple years back. With the added amount of attendees, a schedule change was also suggested. So Tuesday would become an industry-only day, media, devs, stuff like that. And then the general public would be allowed in on Wednesday and Thursday. So, there's that. Among other things mentioned in the deck were, it came across as almost exploiting millennials and Gen Zers for their propensity on giving back, engaging in new media or new paid media partnerships, and new opportunities to market people waiting in the lines for demos and events at E3. The phrase cutertainment was mentioned, but I just want to facepalm every time I see it. Anyway, none of this does anything to try to fix the EA's relationship with the 2,000 assorted media influencer and others attendees who had their personal information leaked earlier this year. It was bad. People were getting doxxed, and it was worse. I mean, if you were a woman on that list, it was not great. Will these efforts bring E3 to Gamescom-like levels of excitement and participation? Will they actually do anything to try to make amends for leaking all that personal information? I'm not at all that hopeful. So speaking of not hopeful, story number 2 is about Anthem. So, what's a gaming podcast without an Anthem story? Does it even exist? Earlier in September, BioWare's head of live service, Chad Robertson, posted an update about the often maligned game, with a small taste of what's upcoming. When I say small, let's just say that, yeah, small. The recent Cataclysm update delivered the largest post-launch update for Anthem so far, and he noted that player engagement has gone up since it came out. Notice he didn't say player count. Sorry, that was loud. He also noted that the player community on the public test server has actually played a big role in delivering fixes to the game. Input from players on the PTS contributed to updates with things like combat balancing, the crystal economy in the game, additional miscellaneous types of rewards, user interface tips and load screens, and improvements to final score banners. Robertson wrote that, quote, "The team and I appreciate the response and support. It is what keeps us motivated to improve Anthem." So you may be asking, what is actually next for Anthem? Nothing concrete has written in this update, but a commitment to fixing the core issues in the game still. Core issues, it came out in February, and a retooling of how content updates will be delivered. Robertson wrote that core issues require a more thorough review, which, I mean, I guess is understandable, rather than just patching in a quick fix. He says those results so far have been rather promising. BioWare is also moving away from the ACT structure for their updates, moving to what they're calling a seasonal update mode. Fundamentally, it seems like it shouldn't change much. The events will still deliver challenges and chases, similar to what's been already put in the game. He ends the blog with a renewed promise of transparency, that they know more work must be done to make Anthem better. While no specific future game events were mentioned, Robertson reiterated that the private test server will be the place to get a preview of what's to come. So, if you've come back to Anthem with the Cataclysm update, definitely hit up at the RandoCast on Twitter. I'd like to know. I haven't gone back to it. Too many good games have come out, and I know Anthem, kind of mediocre. Sorry. But yeah. No, I'd love to hear it if you've come back, and the reasons why. So you might get featured in the next episode of the podcast. Going to a brighter note. Control! Now, I don't know if any of you have played Control, but I have, and it's so weird, and I love it. It came out at the end of August to some really positive reviews so far. It's, like I said, it's certainly been one of my favorite games of 2019 so far. In early September, Remedy announced their kind of game plan for the content to come. And first up would be Photo Mode, due in the fall to all platforms. I, for one, can't wait to just amble through the oldest house, taking sweet snaps of Jesse. It's such an interesting setting. I mean, yeah, no, it's awesome. But the only thing they said about Photo Mode was that it's coming, and they said they'll have more information about that soon. And then secondly, a new game mode, woo, will be released in December, currently called Expeditions. It's being billed as a challenging new endgame mode, where Jesse will have to help Security Chief Arish explore the mysterious formation of its odd surroundings. Dun dun dun. The mode will be free for all players. Yay, free stuff! And house some of the biggest challenges that the oldest house can throw at you. That's exciting. Finally, in 2020, Remedy will release two paid expansions, both offering new story missions, enemies, game mechanics, and new locations in the game. The Foundation, the first expansion that will be released, will delve into the history of the oldest house, something I know I'm stoked for. I mean, if you've played it, it's a weird as fudge place. So, yeah. Even they added in the phrase, expect things to get weird, in the description for that DLC. So, I'm all about the weird. And then the second and final expansion is simply called AWE, which from playing the game, you learn stands for Altered World Events. This expansion will unlock the investigation sector of the oldest house, so new area, and like the name implies, will focus on the altered world events. So we go from trippy Control to our last story of the day, which just, like, burst. And I'm super excited. Yay! Naughty Dog made the rumors of The Last of Us Part 2 State of Play event a reality. We've known for a little while that September was actually going to host another one of these Nintendo Direct-like presentations from Sony. And in the last few days, they actually made the date of the 24th official. Well, this morning, Friday the 20th, Naughty Dog tweeted. It was great. But anyway, back a couple days ago when Sony confirmed the date of this State of Play, they only promised a hefty show of about 20 minutes, featuring new game reveals, new content from PlayStation, the worldwide studios, and the mysterious other updates as well. So going back to my previous thing before I got off on that tangent, Friday morning, those teases at Naughty Dog tweeted out an animation that had the internet, as well as myself, just screaming in glee. I'll be including the link for that in the show notes, but it's flippin' glorious. Ellie's Switchblade, a little worse for wear when you look at it, features in the animation, captioned with the details for the State of Play presentation. Also in the tweet, a quote from the first trailer of the game, which was so long ago, guys. So long ago. Where Ellie says ominously, "I'm gonna find, and I'm gonna kill, every last one of them." Yeah, no, my hype level is through the freaking roof. I loved the first Last of Us. It is an experience playing that I will not forget. So yeah, no, hype level, woo, way over 9,000. The State of Play event, like I said, takes place on September 24th, starting at 1 p.m. Pacific time. So yeah, that's it for the news wrap this week. Stay tuned for the next segment, where we'll talk about some sweet October games coming out. Woo! Alright, so October, right around the corner here, is going to be a pretty baller month for video game releases, so I'm pumped. First of all, I'm looking forward to Concrete Genie on the PS4. It's going to be coming out on October 8th. So it's like, yeah! I did a deep dive in my last podcast, actually, about Concrete Genie. If you're a fan of bright, vibrant, story-driven games with a good message, and you have a PS4, most definitely recommend it. Absolutely. Secondly, on October 18th, I've been a big fan of H.P. Lovecraft forever, and on October 18th, we're going to have Lovecraft Tales, This Whisperer in the Darkness. It's going to be a visual novel, because it's based on one of Lovecraft's books, and hey, it's only going to be $2.99, so yay, I can accomplish a game this year. Outstanding. Also on the 18th is going to be the Ring Fit Adventure for the Switch. Now this one, I've been kind of on the fence about since I watched the trailer thing that Nintendo put together with the different people in different countries playing the game. I mean, it looks cool. Nintendo sort of knows what they're doing with this. Although I'm pretty sure, like, there's, like, three landfills full of Wii Fit Plus boards, which is unfortunate, but that's another story. But, yeah, I mean, it looks cool. You get to do, like, some archery stuff, which is a big win for me. But, hopefully I will have the chance to play it somewhere before I pick it up. So, after that, we move to October 25th, which actually has two of the games I'm looking forward to. First of all, we'll just go alphabetically, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Now, I haven't had a lot of fun playing a COD multiplayer since Black Ops 2, which is unfortunate, but when you get to perfection, how do you beat perfection? But this year's COD, sorry, my allergies and colds, which I mentioned in the first segment, are coming back to haunt me. But this year's installment is from Infinity Ward, who who made Infinite Warfare. Now, a lot of people just shit on the multiplayer for that one. I know I wasn't a fan, but the campaign on it was top tier, 10 out of 10. The story of Reyes, Salter, and Ethan made me laugh, and even at the end, it made me cry. With the pedigree that's at Infinity Ward right now, which includes several Naughty Dog veterans, including Taylor Kurosaki, who is the narrative director on Modern Warfare, you'd expect great storytelling, and I am expecting nothing less with this. And then on October 25th, also, we have The Outer Worlds from the makers of Fallout New Vegas, Obsidian. Yay! Now, I would just say Obsidian's great, and that would do it, because they are great. Fallout New Vegas was great, arguably the best Fallout. But there's so much more to that. Okay, so this game looks amazing. It's scratching that, like, Borderlands-type-esque itch for, like, settings and places like that. But the gameplay looks hella fun, and I have yet to see a trailer that just hasn't made me laugh. Your ship is called the Unreliable. So, I mean, I think that's a good glimpse into the humor they have in the game. So, how is that not great? But this is only a small selection of games that are coming out in October. What are you looking forward to? If you say Luigi's Mansion, I'm still going to play that one. I just decided to save it for December. So, feel free to shoot the RandoCast a tweet or leave a comment on whatever listening platform. Alright, and that's it for this episode of the RandoCast this week. Truly living up to the name Rando. I appreciate you all so immensely if you did stick around to the end. I know I got kind of off the rails there. But, yeah, I appreciate you all from the bottom of my heart. Hopefully, I might attempt to record a special episode next week if the Last of Us state of play thing is as awesome as I am dreaming. So, check out the RandoCast on Twitter for more, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode.